chicken after the egg today, if that's the right way to put it. But we're looking at a very excited Paul tonight. And, that was interesting. We're looking at a very excited Paul tonight. And Paul the Apostle, not Paul on the sound desk, that is. Although Paul on the sound desk might be quite excited as well. I don't know, are you excited tonight? Good. And, and you, yes. Well, you're always excited, Paul. Yes. I misjudged how many people were here, so I've got, I think it's about 25 here. So it might be about one between two. So does somebody want to be generous and dosh these out for me? Thank you. Perhaps somebody else can do this side. Thank you. And that'd be helpful. See if I got my own. I might have to get one of those back in a second. Good. Well, obviously, what's missing from that little piece you've got there are the first few verses of Ephesians, which are Paul's greeting. I'm not dismissing them as unimportant; they are important. They convey a lot of Paul's heart for a given situation. In those first two verses, he said, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus." And faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. So he starts with a very standard kind of Paul beginning. But then he launches into this rather amazing hymn. And it's described as a hymn. I guess that's because there's something poetic about it when people read it in Greek. Who can read Greek with that sort of fluency. But certainly Paul is incredibly excited through this passage here. And there can be a tendency to get a bit lost in his hyperbole. He kind of runs away on various tracks of excitement about qualifying what he's saying and extending what he's saying because he wants to praise the Lord. So I'm just going to read straight down, first of all, the bits in dark text there, which I think give you the backbone of what he's saying. He says, "Praise be to the God who has blessed us, for he chose us to be holy, to be adopted. In him we have redemption. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ." Again, the word chosen to be in that state of being brought together in Christ. "And included in Christ, you were marked in him with a seal." And we're going to read the whole thing through now just to stick the embellishments on that. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to put into effect when the times will have been reached for their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him you were also chosen, having been predestined according to the pleasure, according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." And you'll notice that I've missed highlighting one for the praise of his glory there in verse 12. Paul's excited. And when you read those Old Testament psalms which talk about shouting the praises of God, or you know, they're quite often translated as sing, but they're much more often than more the spirit of shouting the praises of God. You're talking about an Old Testament people who are very, very excited, and they're bashing their big cymbals and drums and feasting and being thrilled with the fact that they're God's people and God is their God. And you've got that spirit here in Paul. He was generally pretty thrilled sort of character anyway, because he was amazed that he should crop up at the time when all that promise through the history of Israel would come to fulfillment. And he was the one who God had revealed his purpose to in a very special way. So he was the one who had the joy of going out and telling the whole world about it. And he felt, I'm entrusted with this stuff. And you could just get that sense of excitement, can't you, in Paul? And we come to a celebration like this and we sit in our rows and we sing some songs quietly. And, you know, sort of standing on the chairs and dancing a bit, that's much more the spirit of Paul here, isn't it? And this is the spirit here. So, right, let's pick this passage to pieces a little bit for 5 minutes or so. There are four phrases there which are repeated. Sorry, there's one phrase there which is repeated four times, and that's the praise of God. So that's verse 3, verse 6, verse 12, and the last verse, verse 14 there. Paul wants to praise God. We've just been singing praise the Lord there. And what else can you do in the face of these truths? There are two things in this passage there's another thing which comes up twice in this passage. That's chosen. And you've got that in verse 4 where we're chosen, and in verse 11 where we're chosen. And Paul can't get over the fact that he's chosen and that the people of he's speaking to are chosen, that for some reason amongst all the peoples that God's grace has come at that point so that they could receive it. And that sense of, well, in the first half the chosen is much more to do with the things which are now, you know, being in God's family, being adopted. And in the second half, the second chosen is much more that sense of I'm chosen to be part of that future glory. And I'm going to be there with Christ, included in heaven. I'm chosen. he's very excited about that one. There are a few other phrases actually there which get repeated as well, but those stand out. Let's pick up some more of those terms that I've underlined. I've underlined chosen because chosen is important. I don't want us to get hung up on the word chosen. The history of the church has a certain amount of tension between those who want to say that we choose and those who want to say God chooses. And frankly, I think you're going to be hard pushed to it to come down on one side of that debate or the other. God chooses us, we choose God. And the fact that God has stirred in our lives is amazing. C.S. Lewis talks about himself as, is it the most reluctant of converts? And there is the sense, isn't there, for those of us who are Christians that we think, well, goodness me, how is it that I ended up being a Christian? How much say did I have in that? You know, the people I encountered, the faithful people who I happened to encounter and pass God's truth on to me. Why did it mean something to me and I responded and my other guys who were in the same youth clubs and things didn't? I certainly can't say it's because I'm a better person. But so there's a mystery in that, isn't there? But we can certainly rejoice the fact that God chooses us. And it certainly is a fantastic place of security that he's chosen us. Then he's got the word adoption. Let's not just be one way. What's adoption say to us? Why is adoption a fantastic term?
Because we don't deserve it.
Well, we don't deserve it. Thank you. That's certainly true.
Brings you into
a family you're not naturally in. Does anyone want to expand on that? And do you know anything about Roman families? Okay, that would be a classic one. So what happens to them when they're adopted? They get all the family rights, all the inheritance of the family. They become a sharer. However many children there are at that generation share the family wealth. So when the senior figure of that family dies, the wealth of the family gets shared out. An adopted slave would be just have equal status in what's being passed on down that family. Absolute equal status. The full rights of the law, all that lot. I mean, there's the whole... It's amazing, isn't it? You come into that family and you know, we're joint heirs with Christ. We're heirs of the glories and the wealth of heaven. That's an amazing term, isn't it? I'm beginning to sound like, what's his name? That physicist who was the ex-rock star. What's his name? Who does the Infinite Monkey Cage. Pardon? Brian Cox, because for him everything's amazing, and I'm finding myself saying amazing a lot. The transformation for somebody outside of a family, and say particularly a slave, who gets adopted into a family, the sheer transformation in that culture, what it means to come into a place where you have everything to do with having a parent, as opposed to not having a parent, but then everything to do with having legal status, and everything to do with having the security of inheritance, and everything to having to do with whatever goes with that in terms of your future. Massive. And Paul could absolutely see that. We've been adopted in God's family. Then we have the word redemption. And redemption, true, is certainly another word which Paul was using very powerfully in his context, and we end up having to define it a little bit. And we've been through this before, but let's just remind ourselves of redemption. What's the context of the word redemption? Slaves. What happens to slaves?
Being bought
out of slavery. It's actually, in that sense, it's fairly close to a word like ransom. Actually, you know, somebody who's taken prisoner and is ransomed, and we see that, don't we? You know, you see those shots on the television of people who've been got by pirates off Somalia, and they somebody pays the money and they go free, and they thought they were going to die, you know, and it's just that release, isn't it, of freedom, and. That's again a powerful term, and I don't know. Are we seeing Amazing Grace or not?
No.
We're not. But I mean, my chains fell off. I mean, redemption is an amazing word, that isn't it? For you know, the chains are gone. You know, literally, they're gone. Let's go on down then and just look at that word seal at the bottom before I just draw what I have to say to a conclusion. And the idea of the seal is that mark of ownership that you put on something you go to buy, and you're going to go back and actually collect it. So you go to the market, you buy it, you put your seal on it, it can't be sold, you go off to get your wagon and come back and pick it up and take it home. And it's not in the possession yet of the owner, it's not in the owner's home yet, it's still in the market, but it's got his seal on it because it's owned. It's already, the contract's already finished. And what Paul is saying is the Holy Spirit, the witness of the Holy Spirit, is, if you like, the down payment that we have of heaven. We experience that touch of heaven in our lives of the presence and the power of God. It's not the full thing. It's not going to be like it will be when we're in God's presence or we see it. But it's a foretaste. And that's a seal that we're headed for being amongst those things that are brought together in heaven and on earth, together under one head, even Christ. And that's, we're going to be included in that group. We're going to have opportunities to be sharing in a moment. Let's be fulsome in our response. Let's speak out the good things that God has done in our lives. I'll let David introduce us into that in a moment. But let's speak out the good things that God's done in our lives. Let's encourage each other and let's encourage ourselves. You know, when we put on our own lips the stories of what God is, that speaks to our own hearts. And sometimes we need to articulate those things because we forget. Now, I have asked the folk on the sound desk and the visuals to do something for me, which is very unfair. If you get there, you think you did. maybe. I went home after morning service this morning, and I just had this really urge to go to an old video I collected. It's a video of a U2 song, and just a moving song about the magnificence of God, and about being born to be in fellowship with Him. And so we can have that. And perhaps I can ask, perhaps Paul, if you can try and get the music as rounded and as big as we can, but so we don't lose the words. Thank you. Oh, well, if the sound doesn't come through, we'll just lose it, and that's okay. Okay. Let's see. You can play the sound straight off my BlackBerry, Paul. The visuals are working, but the sound isn't, and the sound's probably, if anything, more important. Don't worry about it, Paul. Okay, another day. Dave, thanks for trying.